This is a recording of ISIS International from the Commission on the Status of Women, held in New York in March 2010.
ISIS International, documenting feminist visions, creating critical communications, and strengthening social movements.
Like she said, my name is Grace Yene, and I'm from Liberia, West Africa. I now work for an organization called the Women Movement for Sustainable Development, of which I'm one of the founders and the executive director. I'm also an alumni of the ISIS Women International Cultural Institute. I was a part for the 2007 and 2008 component. And what this institute did for me was that it actually opened my mind to the international instruments and to the resolutions that we as women should know about in order to make the necessary change that we need to make in our respective countries. As part of this institute, there was also a research that was done. Dr. Jalad has talked a whole lot about that research, so I'm just going to go directly into the part I actually played. After the research, we as participants from different countries were given an opportunity to come up with a quick impact action plan. Because doing the research, we talked to a lot of women that gave us horrible stories. We raised their hope, and they were like, now you've taken our stories, what next? So the approach that ISIS took was for us as researchers to go back into those communities, at least to talk to those women again and come up with some quick impact activities. So during that time, for me, I was touched by one of the communities we went to in Liberia, which is like the central part of Liberia. It's not really far from where the then President Charles Taylor had his headquarters during the armed conflict. We went to this village and there was a massacre that took place in 1994, where hundreds of Liberians were killed. And during the visit to this village, during our research time, the women told us that their husbands were killed, their children, family members were killed. And when we probed in to get to know how it happened, they now told us that even the bones of those people that were killed were still packed in different places around, in and around the communities. So they took us to those places, we saw the bones, and when we were told to come up with this quick action plan, I felt that it was a good opportunity to go back to that village, though it was my aim to work with women. But you can't work with women with the huge trauma they carry along the way over the years, with their husbands being killed, the wounds are still roaming out about, their children's wounds are still around. So I came up with an action plan to do a communal burial ceremony with those wounds before we can now interact with the women. Because some of the things the women told us doing their research was that in Africa, once you are dead and you are not properly buried, we believe that the spirit of those people still roam around in the village. So they felt that their husbands and children were still around the village seeking for resting place. So I came up with this action plan to do this communion burial. With the seed money from ISIS Wiki, we started the process. But knowing that ISIS is not just in the making of providing basic education for women, they are also there to connect women internationally. So they connected us to Urgent Action Fund that provided some funding for us to do to complete this process. In September of last year, we were able to bury over 500 bodies that the bones were packed in some part of the village. And the process was very interesting. We needed to go first to deal with community leaders, to deal with chiefs and elders, government officials, and they all embraced the idea. Because in time past, there were a lot of people that went, especially during elections, people go back to those communities and make big promises that we will come back, we will do this, we will do that. And there were a lot of people that went and told them that they were going to come to bury the wounds, but they did not go back. So when we came up with this action plan, they embraced the idea. So the chiefs, the elders, women groups, youth groups, the media, the United Nations missions in Liberia, all of them came together and we conducted the ceremony. The ceremony, although it was like just a mere ceremony that we were taking these bones from the coffin farm to put it in the grave. But it went beyond that. What it did for the community was that it actually made a lot of the women to kind of come face to face with what they went through. Because the ceremony was like, someone just died yesterday and you are burying them today. So people cried, they shed tears, other people came, paid tributes, and the women actually faced what they went through like 50 years ago, and they realized that it was time for them to move on, which was something that was key in what we wanted to do. We wanted these women to realize that they've gone through the trauma. We can't continue to live like this, but it's about time that we move forward. And how can we move forward? It's to leave what has happened behind. So that process actually helped. I hope you have the opportunity to see some of the photos that we have. And one thing I want to share as a lesson learned is that working at the community level, even doing such work, we don't need thousands and thousands of dollars. We need just little to make the necessary impact in our community. And that was one thing I learned. We worked with the community. They bring in their own resources. They were there. They dug the grave. They built the vault. And those are things that they were very excited because the process was, they were a part of the process. So that was one thing I learned. Another thing I learned was that because of the huge poverty in that community, the women themselves key in to say, how though you guys are going to do this, but what next for us as women? So it gave the women the opportunity to now start speaking about what is that they need after the process. We had a lot of challenges during the process. We had the challenge of transportation, like in Liberia, we are in our post-reconstruction period, and there's bad roads. So on many occasions, we had to ride motorbikes to go to the village. We had to take taxis to transport things and things like that. So those were some of the challenges. And one of the challenges, again, was the huge poverty rate that was in that community and the kind of lifestyle that the women lived in the community, which was like a challenge for us. And I want to just share a way forward, and I hope you guys will also listen to us and also come up with some suggestions as you listen to us. We'll see what are some of the way forward. But some of the things that the community actually talked about as a way forward is to continue to work at the community level where women and children benefit most. Then we also, though we've tackled the social cultural component of this situation in that community, but we also need to work on the economic component. Women need money. Women need to grow. Women need to be a part of decision making. But how can we be a part of decision making when we don't have money? How can we sit on the table when we are not well? So women need empowerment in those areas. I think I'll stop here for now, and you can ask the questions later. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This speech was brought to you by ISIS International. For more audio reports, please tune into the ISIS website at www.isisinternational.org.